Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Be sure to look at the back of your bulletin with all the announcements to see what's going to be happening here at the church and in the community. Just a couple of things to highlight. There are baptismal sign-up, our witness sign-up sheets in the narthex of the church. I think there may be some here in the annex as well then too. Be sure you sign your name on there as a witness to the baptism this morning. And then after worship service from 10:30 to 12:30 is the spaghetti and bake sale fundraiser going on at the fellowship hall. Good spaghetti dinner. If you bought tickets, don't forget to go pick up your plate. And I'm not sure if there's any extra plates. I don't know. Anybody have any idea? You can check with them over there if you didn't buy a pre-ticket. So, and then also today we have our worship service at the Yorktown Nursing Home, and anyone is welcome to be a part of that service or to come over there, visit with the residents, and take part in the worship service, and that is at 3 o'clock at Yorktown Manor. Are there other announcements? Terry, you got one. You have one too?
We will have acolyte training for those children that are in the third grade and higher who haven't had it before. This will take place on March the 2nd, right after church. So if you need acolyte training, please come.
And for the Sunday school teachers out there, we'd like to have a brief moment with you next week after Sunday school, the little teachers meeting. So if you're a Sunday school teacher, we'd like to have a time with you next week after Sunday school.
All right, thank you. Are there other announcements? If not then, I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, and we'll sing through it two times. Congregation may be seated and y'all can come forward. Mia, you want to stand right here? Yeah. Congregation is asked to follow along with Holy Baptism. It is in the front of the Lutheran Book of Worship, the Green Hymnal, page 121. Page 121 at the beginning of the hymnal, not the hymn. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with him and with his people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
I present to me and the people to receive the sacrament of holy baptism.
In Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring her to the services of God's house and teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As she grows in years, you should place in her hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for her instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of her baptism and in communion with the church, she may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations? The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood you condemned the wicked and saved those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of his cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit, so that she who is here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of her who is cleansed by this water, and bring her forth as an inheritor of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Okay. Mia, you'll kind of lean over. Lean over a little bit.
Mia Allison Lemke, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, stand up. In here. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life in this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Mia, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. Mia, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of this child. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for their children. Strengthen them in their own baptism so that they may share eternally with their children the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through baptism, God has made this new sister a member of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his redeeming, creative and redeeming word to all the world. We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, child of the same Heavenly Father, and worker with us in the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. And I think we have a few gifts here that provided by the church and the women of the church, the cross, and the Bible. All right. Mia, did you want to walk down the aisle with me or not? You want to walk down the aisle with me? Okay, we're going to go. Come on. Go with you. All right. Go see all the new folks, your new brothers and sisters. Ready? Okay, y'all can be seated. We continue with the prayer of the day. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, mercifully receive the prayers of your people. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, Great is the Lord, and we'll sing through it two times.
Lift up your voice. first lesson for today is a reading from Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 1. We'll read it responsively, please. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. Today's second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord.
The sixth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place.
with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what the ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on up. Good to see everybody. I hope you're warm. It's supposed to get colder again. So everybody's up here. Great. Fantastic. Come on up. Well, sometimes our gospel lessons, I like the way things go together, because our gospel lesson speaks of something, and then we have all these lessons before them, and the prophets and some of the Old Testament stuff help us sometimes, I think, with that. Because today, the gospel lesson is talking about blessings and curses, okay? And when you look at it, it seems kind of funny. Because it looks like he's saying curses on all the good things that we want to have. And then blessings on those who don't have them. So it's kind of confusing, but I think the answer is actually when prophet Jeremiah. It says up there, "Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord." I think maybe what that's telling us is when Jesus is talking about those things, is when things are going great and we're getting all that money and having all those wonderful things, we sometimes forget that he's the one that gives it to us. And that we should be thanking him for that. But instead, we kind of get lazy and we think, well, everything's going good. I don't have to worry about it. And maybe we don't do things that we should be doing, like praising him and thanking him and stuff like that. But when you're having a rough time, what's the very first thing you do? You pray to him. That's right. You think about him. So I think maybe that's what Jeremiah is saying. He's saying, there's the plant that is out in the desert. Well, I was trying to figure out how to do that with you. And then I remembered something. I have this one plant, and it happened to fall into a pot. But there's not much dirt in it. What's in there is I had a bunch of seashells from the beach. And look what that plant did. But does it look very good? No. I have to take care of this thing. Because I was worried, and I took it out of the car this morning, and it started to kind of blow, and it looked like some of the shells were moving, and I got worried it was going to blow away, and I have to remember to water it a lot. Because without the water, it kind of gets shriveled up. And so he said, don't let yourself be like the plants that are out in the desert that struggle, because you're thinking only about yourself and about the things on earth. But be like one trees that are planted by the streams. Now, thought about that too. And I remembered that we used to have a family reunion by a river. And it had these beautiful big trees. So I found one of my pictures. And look at that big tree by the river. Look at those roots. They're going in the ground. And they're also going where? Into the water too. And look how big that tree is. And I remember we would always go down there during the summer, and sometimes the water would be way up, but a lot of the times there would hardly be any water to swim in. But that tree, nice and tall, nice and green, because it's rooted in something special. So I think what Jesus is telling us is, don't put your roots in what man and the world want. Put your roots in something special, like the ground of our faith, which is where we are today, in his word and in his song. And Mia, you had the water today. Put your roots near the water. What water? What water do we have in church? The water that we use with her? The baptism. Put your roots in the waters of your baptism. Don't go too far away from them either. So that's what I hope that we will do today, is put your faith in the ground of the word and our song and our Sunday school, and put your roots close to the water of your baptism promise, because he promised to be with us all the time, in good times and in bad times. And don't forget him when you're in the good times too. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the promise that you will be with us all the time. Help us to keep our roots close to the waters of our baptism and rooted in our faith. And may we continue to make that faith strong by our worship and our time studying you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I got a question for you today. What kind of life do you want to have? Or another way of asking that, what kind of blessings do you want to have? We receive blessings from God. God is the one who gives us his blessings, and God gives us blessings all the time. But as Terry alluded to then, or started to talk about, is there's different measures of how different ways that we measure our blessings. What do we put on our blessings? How do we know what kind of blessings we do need? Or how do we know what kind of blessings we want? And the thought here is that everybody does want blessings. Now, I do know some people that are just miserable and they want nothing, and they want nothing to do with anybody else, and they just want to stay in their miserable state. But for the most part, everybody wants blessings. I think even those that are in a miserable state, if they had blessings, maybe they would come out of that then too and understand what the blessings of God are. But the whole idea is that we do want blessings. We want to be blessed. I know when I make hospital visits or other visits, a lot of times I ask God's blessings upon that person, whether it's blessings for healing, blessings for comfort, blessings for peace. We end our service on Sunday mornings with the blessing of, may the Lord bless you and keep you. We want God's blessings. We want blessings upon us, but there's some different standards, different measurements of what those blessings are. In our gospel story today, it was saying that Jesus came down from the mountains and he went to a level place. This is in Luke's gospel, it's called the Sermon on the Plain. In Matthew's gospel, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And they're very similar of what Jesus says in here. But there's a large crowd, and it says they're coming from everywhere. So they're coming from the northern regions. They're coming from that region around Galilee. They're also coming from the southern region down in Judea, and then also as well around Jerusalem. And the thing with Jerusalem is that that's where the center of Jewish worship was, and that's where your leaders come from, is around Jerusalem, or that's where they're at. And so I'm sure there were scribes, Pharisees, maybe some priests, Levites that had come up as well to listen to Jesus, to check him out, to see what was going on. I think part of the trouble that the religious leaders had with Jesus was in the, how do you measure, how do you determine what blessings are? How do you look for what the blessings are? Because there's two, basically you can categorize blessings in two ways, or are the measurement of blessings in two ways. One is God's measure of blessings. God's measures of blessings is what God gives you, that he blesses you with. The other, and to realize that blessings do come from God, they are not earned, they are simply given. That's what a blessing is. The other way of looking at blessings is by an earthly standard, that blessings are something good that we have here on this earth. The things that are great here on this earth, whether it's riches or whether it's property or it's a nice house or a new vehicle, even friendship, good family, good health, that's all things of this earth, things that we experience right now in our lives. And those are great blessings to have. God also gives those as well then too. But the issue I think Jesus had with the religious leaders a lot of times is they measured your faith by what your earthly blessings were. And so if they saw someone who was rich, who was powerful, who was in control, who had lots of popularity, they would say, this man surely must be blessed by God. He surely must be a very good man because God has given him all of these things. God is rewarding him for good behavior. Again, too, it was a very law-dominated society that everything is tied to the law, and it was not only the laws that God had given, but it was also the laws that were made up to protect those laws that God had given, and then laws on top of those, and more ordinances, and more regulations. And so in order to be blessed, you had to follow all these laws, and that was what the thought was. But the measurement from God is that God just simply gives them. He gives the blessings out of grace. So as we look at this gospel lesson that was read this morning, there's some things that this gospel is not saying. For one thing, it's not saying that you, if you are rich, if you are wealthy, if you had lots of property, if you are happy and content in your life, if you have good food, you have all the things that you need in this life and maybe more, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad person. Or on the other hand, for those who are poor, those who don't have much, those who are hurting, just because of those things doesn't mean that you're blessed. Because I know a lot of people who are in that situation that are not blessed. They're miserable in their lives. But what it's saying is, again, it goes back to that measurement. What do you consider a blessing? What do you consider would be something of a woe? The blessings come from God. And even in our poverty, even if we are mourning, even if we are weeping, even if we are hurting, we can still be blessed. Because blessings come through faith. Blessings come in believing. Look for instance at a couple of Bible stories. One, Abraham. Abraham was a man who was blessed. But at first he was not. Abraham was an old man. He had no descendants. And again, the thought in that day and time was, there is no physical resurrection to the person. Salvation comes through your family. And if you have no family, then there is no salvation. Abraham had no family. He had no descendant. No heir to what he was doing. And so he and Sarah prayed to God for years and years and years. But those blessings finally come because he had a son, Isaac. Abraham still was blessed, even during the time that he did not have a son, he was still blessed. He still was faithful to God. And after he got even after he received his son, he was still faithful. He was blessed even more. And God put him to the test to sacrifice his son. But Abraham's measurement of blessing was not the things of this earth, not the things that will eventually fade away, because Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. Abraham knew that the blessings came from God. They came from God. And that's how Abraham measured his blessings. Or, again, the controversy with the religious leaders in that time, who thought the measurement of God's blessings are the earthly things. They could not figure out the story of the man born blind. If you remember that story, there was a man who was born blind. Jesus heals him, but he heals him on a Sabbath. And the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders could not understand how Jesus could do this on the Sabbath. It was a paradox, because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, and healing was definitely work. You're not supposed to do that. So how could this man be healed? Where did his healing come from? Is this a scam? And so they question the blind man. And the blind man says, Jesus has done it. And over and over, they continue to question him, and the blind man says, Jesus has done it. They couldn't figure it out, and the blind man was getting frustrated. He was getting frustrated, and he started getting snarky with the religious leaders. And it was the religious leaders that said, you dare to try to teach us, and you are a sinner. They figured because he was born blind that he was being punished for something that he had done or that his parents or family had done, that he was a sinner. But the blessings come from God, and it's not a measurement of the things of this earth. When we put our measurement of blessings on the things of this earth, then yes, we may have a good life, we may have a happy life here on this earth. But it says here then too that you've received your reward. So what happens throughout eternity? Where are those blessings during eternity? There's no promise that those will continue. You enjoy them for the short time you're here on this earth. But where are they for the rest of eternity? And then it says here as well then too, for those who are humble, those who are weak, those who are poor, those who are mourning, those who are troubled. When it looks like we have nothing in this world, Jesus is saying, don't worry. Because you will be blessed. You will have these things in abundance throughout eternity. When we put our faith in God, when we know the blessings come from God, when we don't put the measurement on the things of this earth, we are blessed. Going back to Abraham again, God made three promises to Abraham. One, that he would have land. Two, that he would have descendants as great as the stars in heaven or the grains of sand on the seashore. And three, that he would be blessed. Those things were fulfilled. For several, it took years and years. As a matter of fact, it took close to 400 or 500 years before the whole idea of the land came about, that blessing of the land. It was at the greatest strength during King Solomon, one of Abraham's descendants, about 400 or 500 years after Abraham. The third blessing in there, that you will be blessed, that's not the whole thing. The whole thing is that you will be blessed so that you may be a blessing. So that you may be a blessing. And that's where the blessings truly do come. As that these things here on this earth, God gives to us richly. Some of us may have great amounts of blessings. Things that we look at in this world. We may have good health. We may have lots of property. We may have lots of money. We may have lots of power. We may have lots of respect or maybe a lot of popularity. But if we don't use those things to be a blessing for others, we're lost. And you're going to have a miserable life. You're not going to feel blessed. It's going to feel like you always need more. You're always chasing after more. You're not blessed. Even though you have all those things, you're not blessed. And then if you don't have those things, or not as much of those things, and you realize that what God has given me, my very own life, maybe people around me that I can love, when we realize what God has given us and use those to be a blessing for others, that's when we are blessed. And we know that we will be blessed through eternity. God's riches come to us. He blesses us in many things. We are blessed so that we too can be a blessing. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, O Savior, Precious Savior. Please rise for the prayers. Let us draw near to the light of Christ, offering prayer and supplication on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Heavenly Father, plant your church amidst the streams of living water. Let its worship, teaching, fellowship, and charity bring life and healing to many people. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we pray as you have commanded, for our enemies and for everyone who is hostile to your word. Soften their hearts and forgive their sins. Heal their souls and lead them to the foot of your Son's cross. Give us the grace to welcome them there as sisters and brothers, fellow debtors to your amazing grace. Lord, in your mercy. Keep this congregation in your care. Cause all we do to conform to your will.
Help us share the mercy of Jesus with everyone we encounter, especially the people we don't much like. Water us daily with the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Let us grow in grace and in fruits that nourish all who hunger for your goodness. Lord, in your mercy. Guide our earthly leaders in pathways of righteousness and integrity. Give them grace to delight in your law. Help them to use their authority to benefit all people, especially the poor. Help us all to never sow seeds of discord and violence. Instead, let us share friendship, respect, and mercy with those who need them most. Lord, in your mercy. Bring healing to the bodies, minds, hearts, and relationships of everyone burdened by sin and suffering. Cheer their spirits, renew their hope, and bless their loved ones and caregivers. Today we plead on behalf of Joyce Lomprick, Norma Barbara, Mark Weishwill, Johnny Bednors, Catherine Glore, Lynn McGurra, and Carl Klein. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the lives of all your faithful people who are now at rest in you. Thank you for their witness, example, and goodness towards us. Nourish us with your word, refresh us with your spirit, and guide us by Jesus' cross. Bring us, we pray, into the resurrection life Christ has won for all who love him. Lord, in your mercy. For all these things, dear Father, and for whatever else you desire for us in your wisdom and compassion, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and King. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in the divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, "He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought."
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.